This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, in terms of reflecting on the Quran, we've been talking about the importance of gratitude, of shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've been talking about the seeing and recognizing the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He described His glory and majesty, and where He reminded us about His ni'mat, about His blessings, so that we may be grateful. And I mentioned to you the ayat of Surah An-Naba from Alam Naj'ali al-Arda Mihada to وَمِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافًا. Until there, all those ayats which reflect and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the things, the items, the ni'mat, the blessings that He has bestowed upon us and for which we need to be grateful to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. There are many other ayat, of course, in the Quran, in Surah Al-Rahman and various other places, many other places, Surah Al-Mulk and so on, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us about His favors. But my question to myself and you is, why do we need a reminder when we look in the mirror every day? Why do we need a reminder when we look in the mirror every day? Why do we need a reminder when we walk without pain, we eat without worrying about digestion, we sleep without trouble, and we wake up feeling fresh and energetic? Why do we need a reminder when we can admire a sunrise or a sunset or a glowing fluorescent sunbird and be aware of what Allah has given us in terms of our eyesight? Have you ever seen a sunbird or a hummingbird flitting from flower to flower, sipping nectar? What do we say when we see that? We say, Subhanallah, all glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we need a reminder when we look at all those who were not as blessed as we have been, at least materially? Why do we need a reminder when we stand in salah in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself? Why do we need a reminder except because we don't reflect? So let us reflect and make a list of all that we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. رَبِّ لَكَ الْحَمْدُ كَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِجَلَالِ وَجِهِكَ وَعَظِيمِ سُلْطَانِكَ. O Allah, all praise and thanks be to You, equal to the glory and magnificence of Your countenance and equal to the glory and magnificence of Your kingdom. The best thing about thankfulness is that it enhances appreciation of what we have. And that is the secret of happiness, to appreciate what we have, not hanker for what we don't have. When you appreciate what you have and you think about it and you reflect on it and you are thankful for it, it enhances the enjoyment of that. It's not just a matter of, when Allah says enhance, it's not a matter of more in terms of numbers. It's a question of how you, because you are aware of it, how it you enjoy it even more. And the same thing, but you enjoy it even more. So let us make a list before we sleep today of all the ni'mat and all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has bestowed upon us. Don't miss out anything. Don't miss out anything. For example, don't miss out the fact that your beautiful, glossy, flowing hair is dead tissue. And if it wasn't, you would need to go under anesthesia for every haircut. Just think about that. Right? Allah has given us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to cover it for the ladies, told us to cover it except in the presence of our mahrams. And we have, some of us have problems with that. May Allah protect us from destroying ourselves, really. When Allah has told us to do something for our own benefit and we don't do it, who are we actually harming? We are definitely not harming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us think about that. If that was not dead tissue, if these nails were not dead tissue, every time you needed to clip your nails, every time you needed a haircut, you would have to go under general anesthesia because, you know, it would be like cutting your flesh. So let us thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that He gave us without asking, and all that He gave us though we asked for it. And even more, let us thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that He did not give us, even when we asked, because He knew that it was something that would not benefit us. I'm old enough to remember some of my du'as, which today I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He did not grant me. Truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and we don't know. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in so many words. Allah said, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا فَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah said, which means, it is possible that there is something which you love, which you dislike, in which there is benefit for you, and it is possible that there is something you like, in which there is harm for you, and Allah knows, and you do not know. And therefore, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses something for it, it is the sign of wisdom, it is a sign of good sense to understand who is making this choice for us. It is somebody who created us, it is somebody who loves us, it is somebody who wants the best for us, and it is somebody who knows the reality, the harm or the benefit of whatever He chose for us. And He knows best because He knows us best. There is nobody who knows us more or better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. And Allah is the one who chose whatever He chose for us, whether it is our spouses, whether it's our children, whether it is the job we do, whether it is the situations we are in, all of these are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I agree, some of these things, we may be suffering under them. So therefore we feel that, oh my God, this is a bad choice, I should not have had it. And that is because we seem to set a marker for ourselves to say that only everything enjoyable is good. Only everything which I enjoy is good. And if there is something that I do not enjoy, then necessarily that thing is bad. But this is wrong. This is wrong even in our normal moral context, right? Think about this. Muhammad Ali, the boxer, rahmatullah alayh, he used to say that if somebody tells me that he enjoys working out in the gym, then I will tell you that he's lying. He said, nobody enjoys working out in the gym. And he's talking about serious working out. He's not talking about, you know, going to the gym as a part of our social life. He says, if somebody tells me that he enjoys going to the gym or enjoys working out in the gym, he said, I will tell you he's a liar. Because nobody enjoys working out in the gym. He said, you do work out in the gym because otherwise in the ring tomorrow you will fail. Right? So you do that because you know exercise is good for you. And that's why even if you don't enjoy it, you do it. You know that dieting, not just, you know, to lose weight, I'm saying good, healthy food, we know that it is good for us, but, you know, this is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unless something is deep fried, unless something is absolutely loaded with sugar and so on, we don't seem to enjoy it. But we know that these things are harmful. I mean, imagine things like Coca-Cola and Pepsi and so on, these aerated drinks with secret formulas, quite apart from the fact that for a Muslim to eat or drink something that he does not know, right? So if there's a secret formula, automatically it means that there is something in it which you don't know. I'm not saying that necessarily it is haram, maybe it's not, maybe they put zamzam in it, who knows. But the point is that you don't know that. And therefore for a Muslim to eat or drink something that he or she does not know itself is against Islam. Because we are supposed to know. We are supposed to know what we are putting into our mouths. Because we are permitted to eat something, we are permitted not to eat something. I mean, we are prohibited from eating other things. And if I'm just eating, you know, I'm eating because I have a mouth, I'm eating because there is something there, then obviously the chances that I might end up eating something which is haram are very much higher. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are His, are the boundaries of the king. He said every king has a boundary, and the what Allah has made haram is the boundary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and Allah told us, don't go near it. La taqrabuha. He said, do not go near those boundaries. He didn't say, he in some other places, he said, do not cross them. But the do not go near is an even more of a prohibition. Because Allah is saying, don't even worry about crossing, not cross. Don't even go near that boundary. Because this is bad for you. Don't go there. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave a beautiful example. He said, it's like a shepherd grazing his sheep very close to the boundary of the king. Because then he's taking a risk. Because it is entirely possible that some sheep will stray across the boundary, and then the shepherd is in trouble. I mean, obviously the king is not going to give a ticket to the sheep. So he says the shepherd will be in trouble. So best thing is, do not graze your sheep close to the boundary of the king. What is the grazing sheep? The grazing sheep is our desire, is our work. So even in this life we know that there are things that we need to do, especially things which are long-term, things which we do in order to get long-term benefits. Like, why do we do that at all? Because those long-term benefits are worth it. How long does it take you to earn a PhD, right? It takes you years and years. Now, how long does it take if you want to become a physician, especially in this country? How many years of study is that, right, to become a doctor? I mean, the point is, if somebody who's studying medicine and going through that grind, there are people who are so dedicated to their profession, to the thing, that they like doing it. But I'm saying that even those people, if you ask them, do you really enjoy this grind and having to write those exams and whatnot, right? I mean, they're doing it because they know they see the benefit in that. So that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that it is possible that you dislike something, but there is benefit in it for you. And it's possible that you enjoy something, but it is harmful for you. And there are any number of those examples. I don't want to waste your time listing them, but any number of examples of things we do which are actually harmful, but momentarily, at the time of doing those things, they are enjoyable. We love doing them. So even in this life, good sense dictates that we look at the result of something, that we look at the longer term benefit or harm from whatever action we are undertaking, and then we do only those things which result in long term benefit, and we do not do anything which results in long term harm. So even more so as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, as far as our akhirat is concerned, right? So we need to be very clear about that. And that's why I said, many times we ask, we make du'as, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His great wisdom, He does not give it to us. And later on, as I told you, in my life, I've seen this several times. If I reflect on the du'as that I made, now today I say to myself, Alhamdulillah, that Allah did not give me what I was asking Him for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned His quality of rububiyat when he referred to Himself as Rabbul Alameen. Now this is the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He takes something incomplete stage by stage to a state of completion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that with everything in His creation, whether or not they worship Him. And that is the reason it is necessary for everyone who benefits from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rububiyat to acknowledge it and to worship Him alone and not join partners with Him. Now, worshipping others other than Allah, or joining partners with Him Jalla Jalaluhu in His worship, or in asking for help from others other than Allah, is a sign of the most despicable ingratitude. For how can you take something from someone and then thank someone else who had nothing to do with what you received? Right? So this is very important for us to think about and reflect on. What is this big thing about shirk? I mean, Islam, as we know, is this is the worst sin that you can commit, is to join partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shirk is the worst sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He can forgive and He will forgive all sins except shirk. Meaning, of course, that if you make tawbah and istighfar, then Allah will forgive everything, including shirk. But then if you don't do that, and if you die on shirk, right, and then that shirk is there, now what happens? Now there are Muslims who are engaged in shirk. There are Muslims who are engaged in shirk. There are Muslims who are engaged in doing things which have, not only do they have no basis in the religion, but these things are completely illogical and senseless. And these things amount to shirk. Right? For example, somebody asked me this morning, he said there's this dargah, mausoleum, in which they have put a doorway. They've taken you can get that in Home Depot here in America, doorways. So they've taken a doorway, they put a doorway, and they have written on it the sign Jannati Darwaza. This is a doorway of Jannah. So if you go to this mausoleum, then they tell you, okay, you can pass through this door, and if you pass through this door, then you are in Jannah. Right? You are in paradise, you are in Jannah, And when you go, when you die, Allah will give you Jannah. Right? Think about this. I mean, this is a combination, literally a diabolical combination between ignorance and those who exploit that ignorance. A combination between scoundrels and those who exploit that ignorance. Now, who tells you to be so ignorant? Who tells you to be such a fool that you believe this nonsense, that somebody tells you, just walk through this door and you will be in Jannah? Does Jannah belong to that person? Does Jannah belong to those people in that place who are telling you to do that? And then, of course, you pay for it. Right? You pay for it. That's how those mujawars live. Haram kha kha ke adat ho gayi mujawaron ko. Seriously, I mean, have some shame, some sense. Believe me, when you die, you will understand that you are walking through that door with that belief for shirk. Don't worry about that guy. That guy is telling you to do that, which is even worse. But he will face Allah on his own, and you will face Allah on your own. My brothers and sisters, really seriously ask yourself this question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his two qualities of mercy, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, and one of them is his personal name, Ar-Rahman, which, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cannot be used for anyone other than him, Jalla Jalaluhu. It is very important, therefore, actually it's good for all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but especially for the personal names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Allah and Rahman, Ar-Rahman. So therefore, always use Abdul Rahman and Abdullah. And Abdullah we use, well, nobody calls himself Allah. But Rahman we use Ar-Rahman, we call somebody Ar-Rahman, and then we call them by that name. This amounts to shirk fi asma wa sifatillahi ta'ala. So please make sure that if somebody is beautiful names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the names Abdul Rahman and Allah and Abdullah best. So by all means, name your children that, but use the whole name. Don't just call him Rahman. Call him Abdul Rahman and call him Abdullah. Rahman is on the same wazan, is on the same meter as Atshan, which is extremely thirsty, or Ghadban, which is very angry, or Jawan, which is very hungry, and indicates a state of peak of that quality. In this case, it is mercy. So Ar-Rahman is the one who is at the peak of mercy. There is no one more merciful than Ar-Rahman. He is the most merciful of those who are merciful. Ar-Rahman, he is the most merciful, right? Of those who are merciful. However, the problem with peaks of any state, is that after the peak there is a decline. The state of peak does not last forever. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Arhamur Rahimin. He is the most merciful of those who are merciful. Arhamur Rahimin. Now the state of the peak doesn't last forever. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used another of his glorious attributes and qualities, which is Ar-Rahim, which is on the same wazan, the same meter as Jameel. Rahim is on the same meter as Jameel, which is beautiful, or Kareem, which is noble, and indicates the state which is intrinsic to somebody and lasts as long as that person lives. In the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is forever, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forever. So someone noble doesn't suddenly wake up one morning and become ignoble. Someone who is beautiful does not suddenly wake up one morning and turn ugly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the case of Allah, Ar-Rahman and Nir-Rahim, the Ar-Rahim after Ar-Rahman indicates that his mercy as Ar-Rahman is at the peak. And after that, Allah said Ar-Rahim, which indicates that this mercy, this peak, there is no decline. In the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the peak of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy continues forever, never faltering, never failing, never running out, and never receding. And therefore, this is the one, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, who we will stand before on the Day of Judgment, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover us with his mercy in both worlds. Our brothers and sisters, let us reflect on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That all that is essential in life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us without charge. gave it to us free. Right? Take, for example, air. What do we pay for air? What about water? Except where we polluted water so much that now we have to pay to purify it. So also with air. But what Allah gave us, pure air, pure water, and He gave us how much air? As much as you want, as much as you need to breathe. How much water? As much as you need for your use. So free and without any boundaries. Now what about instincts? To have good instincts, to have intelligence, and most importantly, guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the Quran free. Allah gave it free. It is free for anyone who is interested in listening to it, in understanding it, and in living by it. But please understand that it was not free for those who received it first. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself paid a personal price for the revelation. There are innumerable hadith which describe the enormous strain that he underwent when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed his kalam to him. On one occasion, he was lying with his head in the lap of one of his companions, Abdullah bin Mas'ud probably. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's head was on the thigh of Abdullah bin Mas'ud when he received wahi. His companion, his sahabi, said that the weight on my leg increased to such an extent that I thought my leg would break. Right? And that's the blessed head of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his lap. SubhanAllah, every time I feel envious about the sahaba, I read some detail which makes me feel even more envious. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the company of the sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. What wonderful people, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded them and blessed them, not just with the company of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but with his love. Nobody loved the sahaba more than the Nabi alayhi salam, and nobody loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than the sahaba loved him. And this was a mutual relationship which was so amazingly beautiful. So here is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lying with his head, his blessed head on the thigh of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, I think it was, and when he started receiving wahi, and his sahabi says that his head became so heavy, I thought it's like a rock on my thigh, and I thought my leg will break, right? On another occasion, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was riding on his camel when wahi came, and the camel was forced to its knees and knelt down and sat down because she could not bear the load. Now imagine, this is a camel. They are known for the kind of loads that they can carry, but the weight of the word of Allah is such that even that camel couldn't bear it and just sat down completely. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam revealed ayat about the innocence of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha in Surah An-Nur, she narrates that it was a very cold night, it was a very cold evening, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had moisture dripping from his forehead to such an extent that it appeared as if he had had a bath, right? So it was his sweat, beautiful, the sweat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had perfume in it. It was not like our sweat. But this perspiration on his forehead, she said that he was receiving wahi, and this perspiration was such that it looked as if he had had a bath. The sahaba all paid a personal price in money, in danger, in lives, and loss of property, to receive and live by the Qur'an. They paid the price for us today, so that we can live by this kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, free from fear, free of cost. But do we? Do we do that? Do we bother, do we take the time and trouble to learn the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we take the time and trouble to reflect on the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we take the time and trouble to live our lives according to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Especially when we know that this is the best way to live. Because there is no way superior than the way that Allah taught us. And if we leave that way and we go and do anything else, by definition that is going to be inferior to what Allah taught us. So why would we do that? Right? So we must really ask ourselves, what is the excuse? Why do we not want to live by the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we have something better? That's why I say reflect on the Quran. Do we have something better? If we do not have something better, and we consider ourselves to be intelligent and so on, then why do we choose something which is inferior instead of something which is superior? When we have that thing which is superior, it was given to us, we have it free of cost, it is available to us, yet we don't want to use it. Finally, the introduction sets the expectations. The introduction sets the tone for the meeting. If somebody introduces himself as a physician, I would not tell him about my car. And if somebody introduces himself to me as a lawyer, I would not tell him about my headache unless it had two legs and a name. So what is the implication of the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself? What is the implication when he called himself Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributes and qualities out of which he mentioned 99 to us. He mentioned 99 of his attributes and qualities to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's how we know them. He is not limited to these. His qualities and glorious attributes are boundless and numberless and numerous. Among the attributes he mentioned to us are his attributes of power and majesty and glory and magnificence, Jalal wa Jabrut wa Kamal wa Izzah. But out of all of those, he chose to introduce himself with his attributes of infinite mercy and compassion. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Ask why. Ask why. For a person who has iman in the Akhirah and who has read the Quran and who knows something about the trials and difficulties of the Day of Judgment, for someone who is conscious of his or her own weaknesses, their sins, the disobedience of Allah, what do you think would have happened to them if he or she were to read the introduction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Avenger, Al-Muntaqim, Al-Jabbar, Al-Qahhar, Al-Aziz? What do you think? And then he reads Malik Yawmiddin, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin. Instead of that, if he or she reads Al-Jabbar, Wal-Qahhar, Malik Yawmiddin, Al-Muntaqim Al-Aziz, Malik Yawmiddin. Allah is all of these things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to introduce himself to us, especially in the context of the Day of Judgment, by his mercy and his compassion. He, the person who read that, if it was not these attributes, and if it was the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalal wa Jabrut, he would have been overpowered with terror, thinking of what would probably happen to him or her when they would have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day about which there is no doubt. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his infinite mercy and compassion, in his infinite grace and forgiveness, set the expectations and tone for that meeting and introduced himself as Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in effect saying to us, yes, there is a day of judgment. Yes, you will die and you will be resurrected. And yes, you will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجِعُونَ. This will happen. Malakul Maut is set upon you. He will extract your souls and he will bring you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my slaves who believe in me, my slaves who worship me, my slaves who are the ummatis of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who follow his way, do not fear, because the one that you are going to stand before is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. There is nobody who is more merciful than Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Right? Arhamur Rahimin. He is the most merciful of those who have mercy. To reassure his slaves that his mercy is what they can look forward to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he introduced himself by Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. I ask you, my brothers and sisters, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not chosen to do that, and instead if he had introduced himself in some other way, who among us would have been able to make him change that introduction? I ask you, should we not first of all thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for introducing himself in this way, even before we read anything further? This is the meaning of responding and reacting to the Quran. When you read something, you don't just read it and then move on to something else. You respond to that. Here is Allah saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Who is he? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Why is that important? Maliki Yawmiddin. Because on that day I'm going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What must we do? We must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Ya Zal Jalal wal Ikram, Ya Akram wal Akramin, Ya Hayyul Ladhi La Yamut, Ya Hayyul Qayyum. We thank you for introducing yourself in this particular way. Because it comforts us, it gives us sukoon in our hearts, it gives us an understanding of who we are and that we are going to stand before you. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. My brothers and sisters, Allah is saying effectively to us, O my slaves, you will come before me on that day of judgment, but remember that you come before the one whose mercy is greater than his wrath. You come before the one whose mercy is what will set the expectations for the day and the tone of that meeting, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy for us all and for his forgiveness for all our sins of commission or omission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some other place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ Your Rabb, Rabbukum. Allah did not say, كَتَبَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. No, he said, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ. Your Rabb has written for himself ar-Rahmah. Right? He has written for himself mercy. So therefore we rely on this and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this and we invoke him by his beautiful names and attributes and the from our perspective, the most beautiful of them, which is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the fact that he is the owner, he is the king, Malik and Malik. This is the two ways in which, in the two different ways of recitation of Quran, this Maliki Yawmiddin is recited as, variously as Maliki Yawmiddin and Maliki Yawmiddin. They both mean the same thing. Malik means king and Malik is the owner, so the king is always the owner. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying Maliki Yawmiddin. Our brothers and sisters, that day will come and we will see it. I can say that with more certainty than I can say that tomorrow will come and I will see it. Quite literally, there is no doubt in this. And when I say I, it's not only me, it's for you as well. Right? You cannot say that tomorrow will come and I will be there to witness it. Tomorrow may come, but what is the guarantee that I will? There is no guarantee. There is no guarantee. Because there is one tomorrow which will come, which will not have me in it. I would have died the previous day. Same thing applies to you. So we cannot say about tomorrow that this day will come and I will be there, but we can say that about the day of judgment, that the day of judgment will come and I will be there. No doubt about this whatsoever. And as I keep saying all the time, reality is that which exists independent of your belief. Reality is that which exists whether you believe it or not. So whatever is real, it won't go away, it won't disappear, because you and I, Alhamdulillah, we are not among the disbelievers, but if somebody disbelieves it, it does not go away. Today we are living in these COVID times, and there are many people who believe that COVID is a figment of the imagination, that it really does not exist. There are people who believe that wearing masks is useless, there is no need to do that. There are people who believe that vaccinations are useless, that we don't need to vaccinate. There are people who believe that that sanitization is unnecessary and then maintaining distance from each other is unnecessary. So there are people who are, you know, even in the mosques and the synagogues and the churches, there are people who are praying, standing shoulder to shoulder. There are people who are not taking any precautions, and there are people who are dying. And there are literally millions of people who have died. And if you think that that is a figment of the imagination, then what are you going to say about those dead bodies? You think those are just like that? People are pretending to be dead. Great actors who are just lying there pretending to be dead. But really, I tell you seriously, we need to question our sanity. But the point I'm making here is that all of that belief, there are people who believe that beating pots and pans will drive away corona. They believe that standing with lamps, everyone together standing with holding a candle, will drive away COVID and corona. There are people who believe that drinking cow urine will cure corona. I mean, the point is, reality is reality. You can believe whatever you like, right? You can believe anything you want. It doesn't matter. What is real will be real. What is real is going to be there. Now, that is the reason why it is so important to understand reality, to be clear in your mind what really is the situation. Because only the person who understands the reality can be prepared for it. The effect of the reality will come on anyone. Whether you are prepared or not prepared, whether you believe it or you don't believe it, it makes no difference. When the time comes, it will come. And this refers to the Day of Judgment. This refers to the time of our death, which is the Qiyamat-us-Sughra, the small Day of Judgment for each individual is when he or she meets Malakul Maut. The Qiyamat-ul-Kubra, the big Day of Judgment, is when we are called before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this will happen, this will happen, this will happen without any doubt, because this was promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no promise which is truer than the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the promise of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ. That is the day of truth. That day will come, that day will happen. And it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. He is the one. Who are Maliki Yawmiddin? There is no huwa in the ayah, but that is understood there, that he is the Malik, he is the owner, he is the Malik, he is the king of the Day of Judgment. My brothers and sisters, so what must we do to prepare for that day when we are certain both that it will come, it will be established, and that we will be a part of it. We will be witnesses to it and we will be affected by it. Every single person. If you are born, there is only one thing which is absolutely certain, and that is that you will die. Without any doubt. And if you die, then there is only one thing which is very certain, which is that you will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment. These are two things which are absolutely incontrovertible. There is no doubt about this whatsoever, that every living thing will die and will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment. Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly, kullu nafsin, every living thing, za'iqatul maut, will taste death. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٍ. Whatever exists today will be destroyed. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy gave it in our hands to write our own future for that day. Now think about this. Allah did not give it into our hands to write our future for this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us a way. And if you follow that way, inshallah, this will be good. But I can't sit and write there that I will have so much of wealth and I will have so much of health and I will have so much of power and authority. No. But about the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us into our control, gave us the power to write whatever destiny that we want for ourselves. We can write as much grief and pain, or as much happiness or comfort as we wish. No limit to that. Whatever you like, both good and bad. So what must we do, therefore, if we want to ensure that we escape the horrors of that day and that we are granted the safety and comfort of the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh, of His throne, on the day when there will be no shade except His shade? Allah told us what the day will be like, where He said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ يَسْتُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. I will just read the meaning of this. Of course, we know the Surah Zalzala, and then we'll talk about this in more detail in the next class. So Allah said, when the earth is shaken with its final earthquake, and this earthquake will be so massive and so enormous that it will dislocate mountains. And when the earth throws out its burdens, people will come out of their kubur, of their graves, and mankind will say, what is the matter with this earth? Why is it behaving like this? That day, it will declare its information about all that happened on it, good and evil. the earth will speak. Because your Rabb has given it the ability, because your Rabb has inspired it. That day, mankind will proceed in scattered groups that they may be shown their deeds. So whoever does good equal to the weight of an atom shall see it, and whoever does evil equal to the weight of an atom will also see it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do good and to save us from evil, because whatever we do, whether it is good or evil, we will see it. We don't want to see something which is harmful for us. That's why the people who deny, they will say, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. Oh, we wish, woe to us. We wish that we were dust, that we were soil, we were the earth, we were sand, we were dirt, that we never existed. Kuntu turaba. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to enable us to live our lives, which will be a means of khair and benefit for us when we meet Him جل جلاله on the day of judgment. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.